Welcome to another episode of Erp Chirp, a podcast by Albertans, about Albertans, but for all Erpers. I'm Erica Ensign.
I'm Annette Weirstra.
And I'm Kirsten Gorick.
And we just watched Wynonna Earp, Season 3, Episode 4, No Cure for Crazy. I like that title.
It's really
that's
appropriate.
That's a good title. I didn't know that was the title.
Me neither. Mm-hmm.
That works. That's what happens when we're not watching it all, like, you know, all at once on iTunes.
Yes.
So we don't see the title and the description before it comes up. We just see an episode of The Twilight Zone on Space Channel.
And then we know it's time.
Yep.
I'm so curious as to what the description of this episode would have been.
We can look it up after.
Yep.
I would like to first of all point out that the theme song went back to normal. Mm-hmm. We were so verklempt after the last episode that we didn't even remember to mention the fact that the theme song had changed.
That broke our hearts.
Yeah, that acoustic version was so pretty.
I don't think I could have taken it if they had left it that way. And I feel like it would have been thematically inappropriate for an episode such as this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
Although it could have signified that they were forever changed by dolls leaving.
It could have.
So that was like, I could see them going that way. I suspected it was only going to be one time, but...
Yep. Until the next person dies.
I know. I'm a little worried about Nedley. I think he's just going to walk away. He's being
so
a little morose.
Just down. Yeah, he's very down this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like he's got some of his own demons to live down.
Yeah.
He was the one who booked Michelle when she was originally arrested for burning down the barn with Waverly in it, apparently. Mm-hmm.
But she was outside.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We weren't falling for that.
And Ward, apparently, like, you know, he was the one who gave this story to Nedley, so.
Mm-hmm. And had Mama arrested.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Unreliable narrator, maybe?
A little bit. Did I miss something? Did we know Ward was a sheriff? I feel like that was never really made clear.
It seems kind of familiar.
It seems feasible,
mm-hmm.
But I don't remember that being part of my picture of him. We know he's a douche.
Yep.
And apparently it was Nedley's boss.
Yeah, at one point, yeah. I mean, it tracks because, you know. Yep. But it was just kind of like, oh, so he did have a day job instead of just drinking.
Yeah.
And beating his wife.
No.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay, speaking of his wife, we got to see quite a lot more.
So much Michelle this time around.
Herb. Yeah. Punching the crap out of her cellmate. It was weird, though, because...
No, they said therapist at some point.
Oh, was it therapist? Okay,
yeah,
good.
They said at some point the therapist.
I was like, why is another person in a padded cell
right?
with her?
That would
seems
be
wrong,
very bad.
Perfect. Yeah, that makes perfect sense that it would be a therapist. And then writing in blood on the wall.
Never, ever get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then she did.
But then she totally did.
Then she did.
Thanks to Wynonna and Waverly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Waverly now knows where Mama is thanks to the magic of flip phones.
Oh my gosh.
Dorps. Gets called and goes to see her mother by herself, but she didn't know where Wynonna was, so okay.
And Wynonna didn't have her flip phone to be called.
Nope. No. Yeah, because they're all broke.
Well, I think they were charging and she grabbed Wynonna's instead of hers. That's how I saw it.
Yeah, exactly.
Happening.
Because one of them has like a bear and one of them had a bunch of skulls.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Pretty obvious whose is who.
I think so. Yeah. Good eye. I didn't quite catch
that. I saw the bear. I missed the skulls.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Yep.
You're sharp.
Yep. So we had some slightly different interpretations of the scene with Waverly at the prison with her mother. And so I know how I read it the first time, but... Explain to me what you guys were thinking, and I think what the audience was supposed to be thinking during that. Certainly what Waverly was thinking.
So I totally fell for it, and that did not.
Yeah.
But no. I thought, like, they played it as if there was something wrong with Waverly. There was something in her, that she was a demon or she had a demon in her, and the whole language was very aggressive.
Kill the demon,
kill
the
demon.
Demon
and
I'll
like,
kill you.
Looking
I'll
right
kill
at
you.
Her, and you need to get out. And yep, but it was wrong.
Yeah, and I was saying that's a fake out. She's talking about something around Waverly or happening to Waverly, and she's trying to kill someone else, but they're making it look like she's talking about Waverly. She's not talking about Waverly. They said she was outside of the barn.
Yeah, she said something about she was unbound. Well, that
yeah,
but also
unbound.
Michelle was saying she's unbound.
Yes.
She's loose or something like
and
that.
That happened at the moment that they touched. So my theory, and I
missed that part.
After seeing the rest of the episode, I'm not entirely sure that my original theory was correct. But my theory in that scene was that Mama Earp has been host to, like, that there's something else either in her head or like anchored to her that she talks to. So when it sounds like she's crazy, she's actually either talking to somebody else or somebody else is talking through her. So that was my thought, was that that's why she didn't want Waverly around, because somehow Waverly being close would, I don't know, release it. So sure enough, she's like, at first we see her see Waverly and go, you know, my little one, my baby, whatever. She's really happy to see her. Yeah. She's overcome with emotion. Then next she realizes what's happening. It was like, it's like, holy crap, get out, run away, run away, I'll kill you. And I don't think she meant, I will kill you because I hate you and I want to murder you. You being here, like, that's going to kill you. Proximity to me. Waverly comes forward, they touch, and immediately, as soon as they touch, she gasps. Michelle gasps and says, she is unbound. I don't think she was talking about Waverly. I think she was talking about Jolene.
Creepy ring girl.
Mm-hmm. The demon, whatever it is. And that's kind of when all hell broke loose.
Well, and then also when Doc was listening to the tape of Mama and her therapist, he heard a third voice, which nobody else was hearing. We heard it. You could tell it sounded like Mama was talking to two different people in two different ways. One she's talking quite aggressively and the other one she's talking calmly. So that could be possession, or is she seeing someone else? And then Doc's hearing a third voice that no one else is hearing because he went to hell.
Or because Bolshar. Yeah,
hanging with Bolshar.
Yeah, Bolshar is tempting him.
I hated that.
That's me. That's causing me a lot of.
Hanging with Bolshar, the new sitcom on CTV.
Ba-dum-bum.
Supernatural would do that.
They totally would.
It was. Yeah. So poor Doc. Let's talk about him for a second. And do you think he made a deal?
I don't know.
I think he was presented a deal, and then he said he needed to confer with Winona as soon as she comes.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
And then he ate the brownies and the cupcakes.
And the cupcakes.
How dare they make delicious cupcakes evil?
I know.
I'm so upset.
Who knows? The first thing that first of all, we screamed at the end of the episode.
Yes.
And after that, the first words out of Kirsten's mouth was, how dare you ruin cupcakes for me?
I love cupcakes. I love baking them. I love eating them. And now I'm just like, I see their creepy, happy faces with that like slightly blurred, like, dream sequence and like filter
and the music.
Weirdly happy.
It was like Calliope music, but it was a little bit like warbly and creeptacular.
Ugh.
And all those big smiles. It was like almost clown level creepy, but not quite.
Exactly. I was thinking it's kind of so clownish, something
and
about
I hate clowns.
It. And she's terrifying. That's the kind of demon I would be, though, if I was a demon. Realistically,
more
Jolene, less Bobo. Come on. We'd have our own little cult of baking me and Kirsten.
You could
everyone with our cupcakes.
You could aim for Bobo,
death
but you
by
probably
sugar high.
Hit
That's
Jolene.
Totally true. We'd like have fur coats, but they would come off like Bobo badass. They'd be like super domesticated.
And underneath, we'd have little aprons with like cherries on them.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yep. You can serve me cupcakes. That's fine. You can serve me cupcakes with gluten, which would make you total demons.
It would.
Ooh, that's just too easy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. I want to talk about, I think, my favorite part of this episode, and that is Jeremy.
Of course, he's our favorite.
Oh my gosh.
He was getting his flirt on.
He's so cute. Those two. Oh my gosh.
Yep. And even before Robin shows up, you still have him being kind of just adorable talking to Waverly and
noticing her bangs.
Robin was adorable too. I meant Jeremy though, to her and being like, no setups. I'm the only match within 50 miles,
and even I swiped left.
Aw, poor Jeremy.
Poor little Jer Bear.
He was also being really cute about Doc and how glowing he
and
was.
Effervescent he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I wonder why.
Got some last night.
Yeah,
and then he's trying to get some more this morning.
Yeah. Go Doc. Until they see the cradle.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was such a good moment. It was an opportunity to really turn on a dime, which is a thing that I think takes quite the chops in terms of acting.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got them like innuendo out the ears, going back and forth and back and forth, and then
which
all of a sudden
we all enjoyed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so much fun.
Oh yeah. And then boom, everything has to shift. And I like that it didn't turn into anger or recriminations or even cold shoulder or silent treatment. Nothing. It was pretty well handled, I think.
Yeah, they had a good conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they kissed, which I think changes the kiss from what it would have been.
Yes.
A few moments before.
Yeah, when he's using his pistol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I have to say this whole episode had I always enjoyed the dialogue and the pacing.
Yep.
But I felt like this one was just really on the nose. Mm-hmm. Between Jeremy and Robin, between Winona and Doc, there was just so much great pacing and
yep.
just witty awesomeness going on.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, well, and I think even having a new character like Robin come in, where, you know, really we all kind of like the dynamic between Jeremy and Doc, but that's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you see someone new come in and kind of wonder how it's going to play. We have our suspicions about who's licking potatoes at some point.
Yeah, in the trailer, I think
I feel
it looked
like
that
was
Robin.
Him. I think he was Potato Boy. I really do.
Well, and he did.
And he licked the blood
on the tree.
So he's a licker.
He's a confirmed
yeah, but
licker.
He was kind of, and so I was like, ooh, dude is weird. But then he just won me over because he was so cute. And then him and Jeremy together were adorable.
Yeah, I completely agree. I just loved him more and more as it went on.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I think, I can't remember if I said this on the podcast or just to you guys or in a members only special, but after seeing the trailer, I thought that was just so weird and gross that I was hoping that that guy was a one-off and was just there and then disappeared. You know what? If it's Robin, I don't want him to be a one-off. I've changed my mind. I like him.
You lick that potato.
You lick it.
If you must, go ahead and lick the potato. I hope there's not a whole lot more licking.
Well, I'm a little concerned for him, though, because he got dragged off by that
That's right.
tree limb
He's dragged
thing.
Off. Everyone's doped up on cupcakes.
Yeah.
Well, there was also a poplar that jumped out into the middle of the road.
That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, and the one that had a person inside.
Ooh.
That was gross.
Murder tree.
Gross. Murder tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's and so much happened.
Yeah. And yeah.
Well, and we suspected, you know, because we had episode 2 all about kind of everything coming to the fore with dolls. Then you have 3, which was a pause, a breather, let us grieve. And we're like, next week it's going to take off.
Yep.
And it certainly did. There's so many threads hanging now.
Yeah.
Are going in all sorts of directions with so many characters.
And the fact that one of them is the fact that they are broke, as we kind of mentioned before.
Yes, they have no money. They might not have a job.
Winona was just reported as a fraud because
HR department doesn't know about her.
Right? County officials.
Yeah, a peacemaker was letting her down.
Yep.
Yeah, was that just because she didn't have bullets? That's kind of what they made it seem like.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that. Is it just the bullets or is
so
it
new? Because I've other than the episode of with the wake, so last week's episode where they physically showed her like loading the gun, I've never seen her do that. So I just kind of assumed it magically produced bullets, but maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, part of me wants to go back, rewatch the entirety of the series now and count every time she shoots without reloading to see if that's been a thing or what.
Yeah.
So guess what we're all doing next week?
We'll need pen and paper because we're bad at math.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
bring your calculators.
It's going to be hash marks. You know, that's the way it's going to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they don't have any money. They don't have their phones.
Nedley's muttering about
like giving up the fight.
Retiring.
He looked so tired.
I hope he does not.
He just looked like he wanted to close his eyes and take a nap.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
We don't want him to, though.
No, you got to wake up, Nedley.
We had a spooky staircase. With fog.
Foggy.
We got Doc making a deal, offered a deal.
Asking about the terms of a
something
deal.
Something with Bolshar.
Oh, he was so
and he did,
creepy.
He was so creepy, but he also did offer Doc something that was intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Get out of hell free card?
Mm-hmm. And then we didn't get to see the end of it, and we don't know, like, you know, we don't know if Doc had the opportunity.
Yeah, because it was a flash. Was that a flash for him too, or was that just a flash for us as the audience?
We don't
who knows.
Know. We also saw Winona start to behead someone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What did she say? This is going to pinch a little?
Yes.
That shady, shady mental health institute that isn't really helping its patients. Don't care for that.
Yeah, and now Mama's out. But are they going to make her go back? Is she going to stay out?
I hope not.
Hopefully she stays out.
I feel
out
like they're just going to cover it up and be like, oh, she died.
That's true, because nobody outside of that institution actually knows that she's gone, because they haven't reported it, because they've been in trouble so many times for mistreating their patients.
Like trying to kill them.
Mama's not coming back.
Yeah.
No.
It's what you get when you have revenant guards.
I suppose. Yeah. Like, I wonder if the guy in charge, is he a revenant too? Like, he could be.
It's unclear.
I mean, his reaction to the head of his guard was pretty muted, I think.
Yeah, he wasn't that shocked that she, like, slam dunked it into the garbage can.
Does that count in her tally?
I don't know. Or is that...
Well, I don't want to say normal death, because, you know...
I expected...
A little abnormal, but...
I expected a close-up of, like, his eyes just blinking, because I would assume he's not actually dead.
Can he put it back on, or does he... Like, what happens then? I have so many questions.
I bet the warden or whatever position... He's just
going to staple gun it back on.
I bet, yeah. And then it'll, you know, it'll eventually sort of heal back together, I'm sure.
Need another shot.
Mm-hmm. Once she gets some more bullets.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now gets we have her gun back, because doesn't Mama still have... No,
at the very end, the gun was on the table with all the cupcakes.
She saw it there. Yeah, so what happened to Mama? Where's Mama?
Where is Mama? Well, and what's Mama up with this new demon?
Jolene person said that Mama was tied up in the barn.
Right. Oh, shit. That's not good.
So, yeah. And then everybody was happily sitting around the table eating baked goods, which apparently are the key to this demon's power, because Winona was all lunging for... Peacemaker, until she got some brownies
shoved into her mouth.
Mm-hmm. Don't you put it in your mouth, Winona.
Don't you put it in your mouth. When is that song not relevant?
It's always relevant, children. It's always relevant.
I'm going to have to link to that in the show notes for this one again, aren't I?
You're welcome.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not familiar with Canadian public service announcements for children, you've got something ahead of you. Let me tell you.
Something delightful. Yeah.
In fact...
Well, and Kirsten did sing it on a previous episode.
She did.
The last episode of season two?
Maybe. No, I think it was the first episode of season three, because Bulshar shoved that walnut thing into the vampire's mouth.
Yeah, it was.
And your face, Annette, was classic. Right. Mm-hmm. Don't you put it in your mouth.
That's right.
Yep.
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 So, there you go.
We haven't seen that vampire around, now that I think of it.
Nope.
Well, I think Dolls killed him. Like the other vampire. Oh, are you talking about the...
I'm talking about Eurotrash vampire.
Oh, yeah.
He tried to hide under a blanket at the party.
Maybe he's one of the trees.
So we have him out there.
We have him out there.
We have this new demon.
No Bobo still. Bobo Watch 2018 continues.
Oh, Bobo.
What if that weird walnut-looking thing that they put in his mouth turned him into a tree? So he is
Maybe he's in the murder tree. God.
Because he said... Because remember, Robin said that there were fancy clothes surrounding it.
Oh, Eric,
and
you're a genius.
If he tasted the blood, Robin's going to be a vampire.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
No.
He did very complicated.
He did cough like blood or something into his hand.
Oh, that's right.
He
coughed something up.
And then
he
went home to his very quintessential looking Alberta house.
Yes.
And there were like weird flowers growing out of the snow.
Which I was like, are those weird flowers growing out of the snow or are they growing out of his dad?
And there was, looked like parts of it had some blood on it. They were red.
Or they were just red because they're growing out of his dad. Sorry, that's my theory and I'm sticking to it.
Well, it's good fertilizer.
True. That is
dead
true.
Bodies. And mm-hmm. Not that I know from experience or anything.
No, I'm really sad.
The look she just gave.
I'm a terrible gardener, okay? That's my mom.
All right. Anything else? I feel like you made a really good point, Kirsten, that the dialogue and the pacing and everything of this was very, very snappy. And I think that's so important coming after episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we needed to just get back on the horse, get back on the swings, and just go, go, go. To sort of pick ourselves back up and pick up the pace. And I think that this episode did that really well, not only with the dialogue and the pacing, but with the pacing of the plot, because, like you said, Annette, so much happened.
So many threads.
Yeah, and I feel that... It's like at this point of the episode, you're going to want to come back and watch it again in a few weeks and go, oh, right. See all the stuff they're threading into this for fruition later. Because you can see several different villains now that we need to deal with.
And information, too, because, you know, we had the teaser previously about Nicole being the only survivor.
Yes.
And now there's something going on with Waverly.
Yeah.
And yeah. Bulshar, Jolene.
And now Jeremy's falling in love with a potential vampire.
Oh, you know what? He was okay with being in love with the vampires
it's
before.
True. Maybe
that's
he will
true.
Be
He's
fine.
A big fan of that.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess Doc's also partially in love with a vampire.
Yeah, no Kate this episode.
Oh, that's true.
No Kate. That's kind of the one thing that we were sort of lacking. But my God, where would they have like shoehorned her
in?
Yeah,
how are
they
going to
fit? Too
like,
much.
There's just
happening.
So much.
She's just like sleeping off the afterglow, I guess. I would be.
I know. And we could still advocate for polyamory. So
that's true. Yep.
With Doc at
we're
the center.
Putting it out there.
So let's just say.
Yep.
Team. Stop choosing.
Yep.
Just choose all of them.
We need a ship name for.
I was just going to say, I'm trying to think of one and it's
Winona,
not working.
Doc and Kate.
Well, I like Doc Tessa that was coming up on. Yeah. I like that for Doc Tessa. So we just have to work Winona in it.
Win Doc Tessa?
Doc Tessa.
Well, Winona.
Doc Tessa Ona? Nope.
We're going to get back to you guys on this.
Oh, no, Doc Tessa.
All right. Listeners, this is your homework assignment. Please workshop.
Yes.
A three-way ship name, a poly ship name.
Tweet us @ @erp_chirp.
Yep.
Let us know what you come up with because we're not having any luck right now, I don't think.
No.
We could sit here for hours trying and it would just become boring.
We don't need to do things on the spot because we are very bad at that, as we have learned. Yep. And speaking of pacing in things, I'm looking at a sign that was left by our Cracker Jack producer so that I wouldn't forget to mention this. next week's episode of Erp Chirp might be delayed a bit. It might be delayed a lot. Not entirely sure. Due to travel schedules, I will be out of the country. And by out of the country, I mean out of Canada and in my native country in the United States. I am going to Worldcon in San Jose, which is where they hold the Hugo Awards. Luckily, the Hugo Awards aren't until Sunday night, but I don't know exactly how or where I'm going to be able to watch Winona Earp.
Can we also do a little brag for you that you are nominated for two Woo! Hugo Awards?
Yeah, she's not just going.
She's not going. She is going to, because she's nominated.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I am, for Best Fan Cast and for my work on the Best Semi-Pro Zine. So
Verity is the podcast and Uncanny Magazine is the fanzine. So
yep,
go check them out.
Yep,
they're awesome.
Aww, and Steven, our Cracker Jack producer and Erica's husband, is also nominated for Uncanny Magazine.
Yep, that is correct. So it'll be my first time at a ceremony, my first time being nominated. I don't necessarily think we're going to win, but this is one of those situations, you guys, where it legit is an honor just to be nominated. 100%. Mm-hmm. 150%.
But you have won Hugos in the past.
Yeah, I've got
She's
two already.
She's won Hugos before.
She's so humble.
We can see them right here. So
hi,
we're
Hugos.
She's not going to brag, but we're going to brag for her.
Yeah.
See, I may not be Canadian by birth, but I have.
She's modest.
I'm learning.
I see four Hugo Awards between you and Steven. So
yep.
There you go.
It's true. Yep, they're huge suckers. If one of them toppled down, Kirsten would probably
They
be
would
dead.
Actually make oh, a weapon. They're kind of
nice
they're like
thought.
Spaceships.
I'm just gonna scooch over here a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, they're pointy spaceships. You could impale someone.
You could take
on
out
one of
an
those.
Eyeball.
Mm-hmm. All right, fact. Well, we have gone off topic
as
and that
usual.
Means it's time to end the show. This time off topic is impaling people with Hugo Awards.
I feel unsafe. Help me.
somebody send help for Kirsten and then the rest of you work on that poly ship name.
Yeah, that's, everybody that's has right. homework.
Yep. All right.
Go to it.
And our homework is to sit on the edges of our seat until we get the next episode.
What's
this is
happening?
Really exciting and scary. So, until next time,
lights out, bitch.